Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the living waters. He'll bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. David says in the very first psalm that the blessed man is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. The word delight means to take great pleasure, great joy in something. Do you delight in God's word, in the law of the Lord? My mom and dad just recently, about a month ago, moved up to Midlothian. They're up here in your area now, and they're really enjoying where they're living. But I was home a couple of months ago visiting my mom, who's in a nursing home at that time. And my dad and I had visited, and then we went back to their apartment. And my dad is 91 years old. And so he got to reminiscing about his life, as he does from time to time now. And he said, you know, I've lived a good long life. And he said, I've really enjoyed being a Christian. I've enjoyed going to church. I've enjoyed going to the big meetings. Enjoyed going to the preacher studies. Enjoyed going to debates. I've really enjoyed being a Christian. You know what occurred to me when he said that I don't think I have ever heard anybody say it just like that. I don't think I've ever heard anybody look back over their life and say, I really enjoyed being a Christian. Do you enjoy being a Christian? Is your delight in the Lord and in His Word or in things? You know, the Bible teaches there are some things better than gold. I want to talk about that. It's amazing to me how many things in the Bible talks about, and it talks about the fact that these things are better than gold. First of all, wisdom is better than gold. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, Solomon says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. He goes on to say it's better than gold and silver, far above rubies. In fact, he says it's more valuable than anything you can desire. Wisdom. That's how great it is. In chapter 16 and verse 16, he says, how much better to get wisdom than gold and to get understanding than silver. Now, how do you get wisdom? How do you acquire wisdom? Well, James says this, if any man lack wisdom, do you lack wisdom? Don't we all? He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. You know what the word upbraid means in the King James and the New King James translation, I believe? It means to chasten or belittle. God never belittles or chastens if you ask for the right thing. Remember, Solomon was just a young man, maybe 18 or 19 years old, really, when he became king. And God came to him and said, ask what you will. If God were to come to you, if that were possible, and he were to say, ask what you will, what would you ask for? What do you delight in? Gold? Silver? A new car? A new house? Better clothing? More boyfriends? More girlfriends? Young people? What would you ask for? Well, this young man said, Lord, I'm just a child. I don't know how to go out or come in by myself, and you've made me king over your people. I need wisdom and understanding. Do you know what? God honored that prayer and poured out his great wisdom on Solomon, and he'll do that for you. Tonight, before you go to bed, ask God for wisdom. He's waiting to give it. He gives it liberally, the Bible says. He won't chasten. He won't belittle you. He will pour out his wisdom on you, James says. Here's what Job said in Job chapter 28 and verse 12. Where can wisdom be found? That's the question. Where can wisdom be found? Man doesn't know its value. It cannot be purchased with gold and silver. It's to be found in the Lord. And if you lack wisdom, ask of God. And God gives liberally. It's better than gold. But next, God's word is better than gold. In Psalm 119 and verse 72, David says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. And I know that Donald Trump keeps reminding us how much money he's got, and he's not the only one. And it seems like this is what everybody wants, more gold and more silver, but there's something better than gold, better than silver, and that's the precious Word of God. I'll tell you what, as I look back over my life, The most precious memories I have from my childhood is coming to meetings like this. We always came to the Labor Day meeting. We always went to the New Year meeting. And we look forward to this. And I don't look back on my life and think about all the ball games and all the tournaments that I attended. Now listen, I like sports as much as anybody. And I enjoy going to watch sporting events. But that's not what I remember and cherish from my childhood. What are your children going to remember? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir this evening because you are the folks who love these meetings and love the Word of God because it's better than gold. Listen, a good name is better than gold. In Proverbs 22 and verse 1, Solomon said a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. And I like this statement from Solomon in chapter 27 and verse 21. He said, the refining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. You know what? It doesn't matter what you say about yourself. Now, you may talk a good game, and you may talk about how wonderful you are, but what do other people say about you? That's really what determines your value. And a good name, a good reputation, what other people say about you is better than gold. Charles and Jan Goodgen are in the audience somewhere this evening, and I told this in Wichita Falls back about a month ago when I was there. When I was about 17 years old, my brother Billy was about 15, we came up to Fort Worth to a Labor Day meeting or some meeting, we really can't remember, and Charles couldn't remember either. We were trying to remember what it was, but we stayed with Charles and Jan, and they were very gracious, and we were with them for several nights. Well, I didn't know it at the time, but Charles told me this later, and we were kind of laughing about this at the meeting. My dad, we'd been there a day or so, and my dad called Brother Charles, and he said, listen, Brother Goodgen, my two boys are staying in your house, and I've told them wherever they go, they are Dickinsons, and whatever they do reflects on the family name. So if you need to give them a whipping while they're there, you give them a whipping. You take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. Well, Charles said he laughed. He didn't think we needed a whipping, and I'm glad. I believe he could have done it if we'd have needed it. But I told Charles my dad meant that. He wasn't just talking, he meant that. You know what? When my kids became teenagers, I used to tell them, when you go off to these big meetings, you're a Dickinson. And whatever you do reflects on the whole family. What's your name? Well, I know what your name is. If you're a child of God, it's Christian. That's the name you wear at your workplace, at school. And maybe you're the only Christian that those people know. And the way you act reflects on the whole church and all of God's people. Maintain your good name. It's better than gold and silver. Now here's one that may not go down so easily. A wise rebuker. Yeah. In Proverbs 25 and verse 12, Solomon said, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. You know what I need, brethren? If I get out of line, if I start to teach something that's not right, I need somebody to rebuke me. I don't need you to flatter me. I don't need you to keep silent. I need to be rebuked. We all need a good rebuke every now and then. But notice what Solomon says here. He says a wise rebuker is better than gold. And you know what? And this kind of goes along with what our brother Nathan told us a little while ago. People need to be trained to be rebukers. Not everybody knows how to rebuke. You know, the Word of God is a sword, and it's sharp, and it can heal or kill. It can destroy. And we have people in congregations, don't we, who are self-appointed rebukers, and they think it's their job to go around and rebuke those that need to be rebuking, and they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to use the Word of God. They don't have any wisdom or experience. A wise rebuker is better than gold to an obedient ear. It takes an obedient ear. It takes a person who will listen and heed. But if you will, it's better than gold. Listen next, and I love to talk about this. Children are better than gold. I love what David says over in Psalms 127. He says, children are a heritage of the Lord, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. In chapter 128, he says it'll be in your house like olive plants all around your table. One of the saddest statements made by Job You remember Job lost all of his possessions, lost his health, lost his children. He had 10 children, and all of them were killed instantly. And Job was thinking about that in Job 29 and verse 5. And he said, "Oh, that I was in months past, as in the days when God watched over me, when my children were around me, when my steps were bathed with cream." Do you ever do this? I do. Do you ever think back to those good old days when your children were at home, when they were all around your table? You know what I tell young parents? We've got some young parents in the audience, and I know those little kids drive you crazy sometimes, but these are the best days of your life. At night, you go in and you put them in bed, you know where they are. They're going to be teenagers soon. You're not going to know where. They're going to be out somewhere, maybe in a meeting like this. And even after they're grown, you're not going to know where they are. That's when your worries begin. Brother Richard DeGolf was supposed to speak this evening, but he's got laryngitis, I understand. But Glenda is here. And when our kids were little, we stayed with them out in Turlock, California. And one day, Richard and I were walking in the almond orchard back behind his house. And Richard, in his unique way, told me, "Jerry," he said, "this is the best time of your life. Your kids are little. You're going to look back one of these days and think these were the best days of your life." And he was right. Glenda, tell him he was right. And I think about that from time to time. I like what David goes on to say, though, in chapter 128. He says, "Blessed is the man who will see his children's children." That's what I'm talking about. Not just children, but grandchildren. And I'll tell you, as a grandfather, they're better than gold. All the silver and all the gold in the world cannot take the place of those wonderful children. Over in the book of Lamentations, chapter 4 and verse 2, now Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He prophesied that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed by the Babylonians, and the people were going to be taken into captivity. That happened. And so in the book of Lamentations, really, we have a funeral dirge. He weeps and laments over the pathetic state of Jerusalem. And he says this in chapter 4 and verse 2, "The precious sons of Zion, valuable as gold, how they are regarded as clay pots." You know, Jeremiah says it's bad enough that the adults suffered and the adults deserve to suffer because of their sin. But even the little children, even the sons and daughters were suffering. Even Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just teenagers, were carried off to Babylon. They were more precious than gold. What's more precious than our children? What's more precious than those precious little souls? They're better than gold. Next, though, Jesus is better than gold. I love the story in Acts chapter 3 where Peter and John, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, were walking up into the temple. It was the hour of prayer. And a big crowd was going up the steps. And there was a man laying there who was crippled. He'd been born that way, laid there every day begging. Maybe he had a tin cup. And nobody was putting any money in his cup. Apparently, he was looking in another direction. And Peter stopped and said, "Look up here. Look at us." So he looked up and the Bible says he thought, "I'm going to get something. Finally, somebody's going to give me something." But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And Dr. Luke says his ankle bones and his leg bones were strengthened, and he stood up and walked. He went into the temple leaping and jumping and praising God. And the people gathered around. They were looking at Peter and John. And Peter said, "Don't look at us. As if we did this by our own power, in the name of Jesus, the Jesus that you crucified, this man stands before you whole." And they proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen, Peter didn't have silver and gold, and we don't either. But we've got something better than gold. We have the gospel. We have Jesus. And we can give that to the world. It is better than gold. Listen, I love what the poet said. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. To have Jesus, to know Jesus, to have Jesus know me, to be faithful in the service of Jesus is better than gold." But lastly, this evening, heaven is better than gold. And I want to say it like this. To know that you're going to heaven, to know, to have a sweet assurance that you are going to heaven, is better than gold. And in Revelation 21 and verse 18, and that wonderful description that John gives us, he says, the construction of the wall was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. Notice it wasn't 50% gold, 99%, it was pure gold. And down in verse 21 of chapter 21, he said, the street is pure gold, like transparent glass. Now, when John, we understand this, when John gave us this description, he wasn't saying that the city was literally gold. It's better than gold. That's what he was telling us. Gold is a precious commodity. It always has been. And people are seeking it today. But there's a city better than gold. And that's that place called heaven. You know, Peter tells us that we have, in 1 Peter 1 verse 3, we have reservations. He said we have an inheritance incorruptible reserved in heaven. Do you have reservations? Have you made your reservations in heaven? Or I should say it this way, has Jesus made reservations for you? Remember, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Has Jesus made reservations for you? When our kids were little, we went up to the Sulphur meeting one year, and I had made reservations, I'm pretty sure I had, at the Chickasaw Motel. But I got there that afternoon, and they said, we're sorry, sir, we don't have your name. I said, I called, I made reservations. They said, well, maybe there was a mistake, but we don't have your name. I said, well, do you have a room? They said, nope. So I was standing there thinking, ma'am, we're going to have to go all the way to Ada, all the way to Ardmore and drive like people have had to do back in those times. There was a young man standing there, really not much younger than me, really. But I was only about 22 or 23. But he was about my age. And he said, I'm checking out. He said, give him my room. I said, are you sure? He said, yeah. And so we thanked him and we checked in. That night, I saw him at the service. I said, I thought you were checking out. He said, well, I did check out, but I'm staying through the rest of the meeting. I said, where are you staying? Well, I'm staying with some friends. You know, that was Ronnie. It was Larry Ford. Now, Larry's kind of a quiet guy. He wouldn't appreciate me talking about him, but I'm talking about him this evening. One of the nicest things anybody's ever done for me, that was before he was married. And I remind him of it every now and then. When I see him, he goes to a church up in Springfield. Larry made reservations for me. He allowed me to stay in his room. Do you have reservations? Brother George Sears was a leader in the church in Deer Park for many years, passed away a little over a year ago, a leader with my dad down there for years. And he got cancer and finally passed away. But after he got sick, he was talking to my dad one day, and he said, Bill, he said, do you think I'm good enough to go to heaven? My dad said, George, nobody's good enough to go to heaven. And you're not going to heaven because of your own goodness. You're going because of what Jesus did on the cross. And because you put your faith in him and you're living for him. You're going to go to heaven because of Jesus. That's right. That's better than gold. I don't have to depend on myself. I don't have to depend on my goodness or not so goodness. I'm depending on Jesus. Are you? Have you put your faith in Jesus? Do you know him? Does he know you? Are you obeying him and living for him? That's a conditional promise, of course. But you can know you're going to heaven. If you put your faith in Jesus and you live for him, Jesus said he's got your reservations reserved. And that's better than all the gold in this world. Better than gold. Better than gold. Some things are better than gold. And may we delight in these wonderful blessings the Lord has given us.